Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit.
To make an example to the world by blowing up. First, the satellite was bad. They wanted the world to know they had the capacity to blow any satellite they want out of the atmosphere up there. I hope you people can sleep good at night. I'm not trying to make anybody paranoid, but I didn't know we could send lasers up and just destroy things in outer space.
Yep, we can.
That sounds like Star Wars, a movie. I didn't think that was reality.
Also got stuff out there and running around the ocean right now. I won't say what, who, or where, but we do.
You mean ships, or you mean talking about submarines
ships,
or combinations?
Both.
Okay, I didn't know.
Somebody wants to talk to you.
All right. 708-9, you're live.
Hi,
tell us who you are.
Hi, Phil.
Who do you want to talk to?
It's Nora. I'm in Chicago. I beat you to it.
Chicago.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine.
Good.
It's weather out here, so Phil and I are running hard on the weekends. Actually, I think you and I are home next weekend, but then the week after that, it's Helena, and then we do the big party at my shop and all that. So we certainly thinking about you.
You guys didn't go to that thing then yet.
No, that's the 29th.
Okay. Oh, did anybody find out if I could get a shirt from that?
From where?
What size?
From down south, from you.
You want Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tijuana. Is that what you want on the shirt, saying Tijuana?
Well, I didn't know if... with that event that you guys are going to, if they have shirts for that.
They will, and we certainly can pick them up. It'll say the, and I could be wrong with the numerical digits, I think it's going to be the 59th anniversary of the Solo Angels. Phil, you say Spanish better than I do. How do you say that in Espanol? Solo Angels. Solo Angels for us really Irish boys. 59th anniversary party. What size would you like, dear?
Large.
It'll be
but
men's size only, probably.
That's okay.
Be men's size only, probably.
That's okay.
Okay.
Phil can message me, like, how much, and I can PayPal him, or I can PayPal you, Bill. I could call you at your shop and PayPal you.
No, honey, I'll just pay for that myself, and then maybe Philip can, if Philip was nice, maybe he'll mail it out to you. I'll split half the cost of shipping with you, okay?
Of course.
Philip's going to,
well,
great, spend my money,
let
Bill.
No, and I'll pay it. Yep.
No,
but,
honey,
right.
What do we just say to
because
you?
Because that would be cool.
Be quiet.
I just said
have...
you. Shirt and Philip looked
you.
At me like, oh.
No,
I mean,
he
wants to pay for half the shirt, I'm saying, that's all.
Yeah, we'll
allow Philip and I to pay for the shirt for you, and then Philip and I will arrange the...
As long as we get some cookies, they're not broken this time.
Oh,
though.
That's right, too.
Okay. Oh,
it might be a nice
you know
girl. I think
Wednesday, wait, you're not doing anything that this coming weekend following, right?
This weekend, which would be the 23rd, 24th of that week, I don't think we're doing anything.
I'm going north.
Okay.
I got that down.
Okay, but, oh, with Ramona.
Yeah.
Yep. He is such a cutie. He's getting so big. You said you weren't doing anything next weekend, right?
Not this coming weekend, the 23rd, 24th, the 29th,
but
the 30th.
Okay.
I'll be in Mexico on the 29th, and Phil and I will also we'll be back in San Diego in Oceanside. I guess I can leave Mexico about midnight, to, and then I got to whip those ponies to get back up here for our big party on the 30th, which is pretty big.
Okay. Yes, I'm fully aware because I remember that from the last time I was on the show with you guys. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do.
Give us a flyer.
This is Deanna Cookies. I'll put them out Wednesday to Phil. So then that way, by the time you guys come back, will someone be at your house, Phil, to get them?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll put them in the mail, and then that way...
Oh, my daughter,
get them in the mail. Yeah.
By the time they open up, those guys are...
You wouldn't open them.
Hmm. Did you care for a color?
Huh? Oh, I don't care what color.
Well, I got to get the information down. Okay.
This is why I just
have
pink.
Arm our military so they can travel to and from carrying their weapons from the base. Did you get the first part of the conversation we had?
No, because all I got was dead air. I hurried up and I sent a message to Phil to make sure that there was a show because it was just dead. So I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Well, we're just talking about the fact that we have got, like, next to us is Camp Pendleton, and we have young men and women, and they have their weapons locked up in an armory. They cannot get their weapons. Unless they get a special, the cheese, the big cheese, the general. We have crime going on the streets everywhere, but our military has to walk around in uniforms, which makes them victims. My statement is, why can't the military, which already has a weapon assigned to them, why can't they carry their weapons to and from work? I think it would cut down the crime. I think if you're in a restaurant and you want to rob a restaurant, people from the military, and they all pull their guns out, that thief may want to go somewhere else. Now, many of the people, Phil and I, they're saying that, well, we don't want our armed military streets. We have terrorist streets with weapons.
I get that.
Huh?
This is how I feel, okay? If military being homicide and working on the base, they should be able to conceal and carry. Because you don't know what's going to take place, just like your son, Bill, okay? But at some point, I know this has been talked about for decades, okay? Now, people are starting to get a little jumpy because if they put martial law in place, who's going to be caring then? They want the military to, am I right?
Right.
They want to bring the military in. Alongside with whoever to make sure they're protecting who they have to against citizens, U.S. citizens, not immigrant U.S. citizens, okay? So how I feel, they should be able to conceal and carry. I don't have an issue with it.
No, I actually think that as long as we make them travel in a uniform, they need to have some protection. If we want to change the rules and regulations, say nobody can leave the base unless they're in civilian clothes. Now they're not so walking around with a target on their back. But since they travel to and from utilities or their work outfits, them to walk around in this day and age and not have any protection.
Well, this is what I understand, too. At some point, decades ago, people had spoke about a jade helm. A jade helm would be where martial law comes into play, military comes in, just like what they showed in Boston. The only difference is they're talking about camps and everything else, too. You know, the ones that are against the government goes to the camps and everything else. So if they're going to make sure that everybody is fully armed, you know, weapons are purchased at matched amounts as well as bullets and everything else. Well, at some point, something's going to come into play.
Yeah.
You know, and Jade Helm, I don't know if it's something that's just been being said throughout history, because it talks about different things coming this September. First, it's an alien attack, or it's going to be a massive asteroid, or we're going to be in the dark for a couple months. I don't know. It's weird because and Phil could look it up on YouTube. They have different meanings behind it. But the basic meaning behind it is military and FEMA camps will be up in September. And martial law will come into play. And they will have everybody to go through people's homes to take weapons. Sorry.
I had just mentioned to Philip that I'll repeat it again because it's kind of awesome to me. This past week, China sent a laser up, and one of there's 9,000 satellites around the Earth right now, 9,000, and one of China's satellites was acting up. They sent a laser all the way up to the outer space and blew up their own satellite. A while back, Russia's weather station was defective. It was going to crap. They blew up their own station. 3 or 4 months ago, America had a satellite that was starting to crash down to Earth. We sent a laser, and we blew up our own satellites. I was telling Philip, I didn't know that we had such power. It's all Star Wars. But apparently, we can access and... So, we have lasers that we can destroy things in outer space.
Right.
And yet, we can't allow a Marine to leave Camp Pendleton with a weapon. I'm not
right.
Getting a little concerned with this area.
Well, like I said, I fully agree, and I believe that anybody that's on Camp Pendleton should deal with conceal and carry.
I'm waiting right now for somebody to call us, and Philip and I, you know, we're all pro-military and all that. Obviously, I'm Army. He's Marine Corps. I'm actually waiting for representatives from Camp Pendleton to join us, and I'm going to look awful embarrassing if they get the day wrong here. We want to talk about a special program going on to benefit the Marines and sailors and their families in the Camp Pendleton community. And if they don't call in a couple of seconds because they got the date wrong, I'm going to look awful embarrassed here. But I'm going to leave that teaser out there, and hopefully we get these people calling in. I spoke to Linda Sundrum, Indian president, and she or Vince Endos, he is the president of the Rotary Club Camp Pendleton, and we're waiting for some response to them. And again, guys, don't leave me out here. Camp Pendleton, hello, hello, come in. You're right on the button now. Pick up the phone, call me. Well, I don't hear any
phone calls. I don't think they hear you. I'm sorry if you hear like a little bit of noise. I'm having a smoke in my garage, and I have my little guy with me. I have him all the time. My daughter, she has odd work schedule, and you know, she goes to college 2 days a week. So,
okay.
I have an active 2-year-old, so I'm trying to keep it maintained so I don't get muted. But he's just a baby; he doesn't know any better.
And you know, I'm sorry. I looking at my notes. Phil, did you get the correct size that we wanted the T-shirt for her? I didn't. I wrote. I lost it. The size you want for that T-shirt again, please?
Large.
Large.
I thought it was extra small.
She said large.
If she gets extra small, I won't be able to get it up over my boobs.
So a large man will do it.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay, then we'll make a note.
Did you say, Bill, you want a picture of her boob?
I would not say that unless her and I were alone, but certainly. Hello, hello, Camp Pendleton Marine Corps.
Nope.
You people have If they attack you right now, I'm worried about you because you're late. The only thing I can think is they might have confused this week for next week.
You know that speed checks are still out ahead. The state's forced to put caps on how much cops can steal from the drivers. Anyone who's taking a road trip, speed traps are out there. It's going down through it. Acceptedly charging thousand tickets a month on that tiny stretch of interstate.
It's simply...
I'm gonna mute you for a minute, Nora. The American, like, we have that stretch of interstate.
I got that stretch right over here.
I actually beat those speeding tickets.
Highway 76, I got that stretch where they're waiting behind bushes.
Yeah, it's definitely changed speed limits, right? 1,000 tickets a month. The AAA put out a study on municipalities slowing the revenues through speed traps.
Well,
this policing for profit has reached erroneous proportions in several U.S. towns. 7 states have already imposed limits on a percentage of revenue a town can keep from traffic citations, and now federal legislation is being proposed. In Hopewell, Virginia, Bill, did you know they made $1.8 million last year by writing more than 1,000 tickets a month on a two-mile stretch?
And most of them are out of town.
And there are no safety concerns on this.
Most of them are probably out of town, people traveling through.
Springtown, Oklahoma, population 400, made the most of living from traffic tickets in 2013, with 76% of the budget coming from speed traps. Their police department was disbanded after an investigation found an excessive speed trap. That's the one. Remember, I told you they took that town.
That's right.
They fired all the cops.
Right.
Citizens rarely have a voice in such situations, but AAA has attracted national attention to this particular issue. Their spokesman, John Towson, rightly points out revenue collection should be not the goal of the policing. The truth is, let's see, writing speeding tickets is only done by police when it's worth their while. Monetary speaking, said that if Mount Lebanon were to produce the same kind of money Hopewell makes from traffic violations, they would have to write 5,500 tickets a month. It's not worth their while. Virginia added a law this year that would curtail the rampant extortion going on in Hopewell, capping the percentage of municipalities' revenue from speeding tickets at 30%. It may not be worthwhile anymore to spend so much on manpower on a tiny stretch.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm going to talk about this event going on in Camp Pendleton. Even though these people cannot coordinate going on the show with us. So are you ready?
Yeah.
The Rotary Club at Camp Pendleton, Camp Pendleton Marine Corps, are going to have a golf tournament. It's called
I'm kind of on the fence on this one.
Oh, good, because I want to talk to you a little bit about this one. I'm going to ask you a few pertinent questions here. Okay. So this is going to be October 10th. It's going to be at the Marine Memorial Golf Course, Camp Pendleton. Now, I did ask you earlier, were you ever stationed on Camp Pendleton?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever play golf on Camp Pendleton?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
I just don't see you as a golfer.
I didn't see me as a golfer either, Bill. But
okay. All right. Well, they're going to start at 11:30, and the tournament begins at 1 o'clock. They want you to pay $125 to play. If you don't golf, live entertainment, two drinks for $30. That's not that big a deal. Longest drive, closest to the tee, and putting. Now, Philip, since these people didn't call up, let me tell you how I feel about golf. Any event that we can help our veterans get more active is certainly a good deal.
Right.
I'm not sure golf is really a sport. Because the purpose is, and correct me because I'm not an expert in this here, you have a little tiny ball, usually white, usually.
Right. And you hit it and chase
and you
after.
Have a stick. And you have to walk after this ball. And then you keep hitting it until you put it in a hole in the ground, right? Is there a limit on the amount of times you can hit with the stick? There is?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
It starts out par 3, par 4, par 5.
Okay, I didn't understand that.
Par 5 is the top, 3 is... So basically what you do, Bill, is you hit the ball off the tee. You might hit it 180 yards, you might hit it 280 yards.
All right.
Depends on how you are.
You get this little stick, you hit a ball. All right.
Club, Bill, it's not a stick.
It's a stick.
They named it a club.
Yeah, well.
You have metal clubs and you have wooden clubs.
I may call it a club if these people call it one time, but they did.
You have one club that they call the driver. That's usually what everybody takes their first shot with. Now, me, in my situation, the first time I golfed, I hit the ball, one shot. Second shot, I hit the ball, hit the stick, drops in the cup. The people that I was playing with started throwing clubs. That was the last time I played golf.
I never played golf ever. We can't count miniature golf.
Two shots and I birdied the hole off the stick.
And you quit.
The stick
quit
is,
while you're ahead. That's a good idea.
The stick is the one with the little flag on it. Tells you where you got to hit the ball.
Well, why is the stick in there? Because isn't that like an obstacle? Because I know sometimes they don't have a stick in there. And sometimes they have
a
stick.
After you get on the green, they take the stick out so you can putt to the hole.
Hmm.
Oh, actually, yeah, it's a putt, but strokes. How many strokes it took you to get the ball in the hole?
Well, anything, and, you know, I mean, certainly any event that we do that we can encourage our veterans to get more involved with, I think is a great idea. I am going to stick to my original guns. I'm not sure golf is a sport. I don't think if you're 180 pounds or 280 pounds, I think you still pretty much play golf. So while they've invited me to come down and play, I am going to decline.
Well, I want to know where the money's going, Bill.
The money is going to go for... And if they called up, they're going to tell me it's going to go all to the Rotary Club on Camp Pendleton. And it is
they told you it's all going to go there?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And this is, I checked this here, it's a Community Service Fund 501c3 organization, which we like. Tax ID number, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Okay. And those other people we never heard about.
Those other people that do an event on Camp Pendleton, I think they've been blown out the water. That is a bogus program. I'm not going to say the name. I'm not going to give them negative press.
No, and I just don't understand someone, the first comment out of their mouth when they get asked where the money's going. Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to take my end off the top.
That's correct. I really want to be very clearly, this event we're talking about, Camp Pendleton and Golfing with the Heroes, this is a good guy program. Anybody that's got a 501c3 organization filled by doors to support them, we know everything goes right to the Rotary Club Camp Pendleton. The event is on Camp Pendleton, so we do invite the public to come out. And if you can't come, and you can afford $125 to support the event, I think that would be kind of nice. If you can't kick a $125, check or cash payable to the Rotary Club Camp Pendleton, P.O. Box 9000, number 210, Oceanside, California 92051. So the reason I'm having trouble is because, you know, I see people on TV wearing funny little outfits when they golf. I'm not sure I see you doing that, Phil. No. Nora, did you ever do any golfing?
Yeah, the only golfing I did was in my backyard and I launched golf balls on the other side of the tracks. I never went to, like, a golf course or anything like that. I've been to a driving range, but that's about as far as I got. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a little strange night.
I had to try it.
But yes,
you remember where Columbus Park is over there by the Eisenhower?
Yeah.
You know that big hill that's next to the freeway?
Yeah.
You know on the backside where that little 9-hole golf course is?
Is that where you used to go?
That's where we used to go up on the hill and shoot golf balls at the cars going down the street.
No wonder you had to leave Chicago. I can see that they probably got to put you on a bus. I'm definitely
for
golf.
But, you know, golf isn't bad. You know, I just don't know what it's like to do 18 holes or anything. I've never done that. But it's pretty cool, you know. Just as long as I don't have to wear funny pants and, you know.
Or I think a little
funny pants anyway.
Wear spikes on there. They're not running anywhere.
They're
just walking.
It's the pants.
Instead you hit a ball, you got to have spikes in you so you don't fall over?
So you don't slide.
This is not a race.
The grass is wet, Bill.
This is not racing down the grass. You know what? I would play golf if they give me a golf and I can hit it like a polo.
Right.
Drive along and hit it with my... I think that'd
Marco
be okay.
Polo.
Yeah. Anyway, I am expecting... I'm really miffed because I had a professional golfer supposed to call me. I got these people at Camp Pendleton and I don't know where they are unless they thought I meant the following... I won't make too much fun of them. Chris Perlman. I won't make too much fun of her. But next week when they call me, what? Phil, you know, there's something
maybe
that was going on in my mind recently that you brought up to me about the civilians taking pictures.
Yeah. We have a law here now that got passed in California, Bill.
Another crazy law.
No, this isn't a crazy law, Bill. It says the new law puts in focus a citizen's right to photograph police.
Oh, nice.
The guy who wrote this article says, when I was covering the Republican National Convention in 2004 in New York City, cast the widest net, literally an orange net. Anxious, rambunctious, New York City may ultimately paid $18 million to settle the resulting civil rights lawsuits, but I remember seeing some of this take place and relating to how deeply this chilled the reporter's ability to cover the news of the day. I thought of this as legislators this year debated a bill by Senator Ricardo Lara, D. Bell Gardens. That's that crazy fucker up there. That makes it legally clear journalists and citizens with cameras. I know. And cell phones have every right to record the activities of police officials as long as they are in a public place and aren't actually interfering with the officers doing their job. Like I told you, Bill, as long as they're not taking a piss, walking out of their house, or undercover, fair game. Right here, in the law.
Phil, let's put this hold for 1 second because we have some callers and I've been making fun of the certain people. And I wonder if they're calling up now. I'm going to have egg on my face.
No.
Oh, they're not just logged in.
No,
okay, well,
no,
just logged in.
No, that's Marion.
Oh, okay, then.
That's Marion.
Okay, that there was... Oh, sorry.
No,
that's okay, Marion. Marion, how are we doing tonight, buddy? I hope things are okay with you. What? What's that noise there?
California. Somebody dialing the wrong number. Obviously, cops to arrest photojournalists.
Mm-hmm.
It's also wrong for California police to do what they have often done. Confiscate the cameras and even arrest people who are recording the actions of their public servants operating in public spaces. SB 411, which was signed into law on August 11th, Bill, by Governor Jerry Brown, removes any doubts. This bill is long overdue.
You know, he's sleeping at Linda Ronstadt. That's about the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
Just threw that in there for you.
Senate Bill 411 clarifies individuals' First Amendment right to record police officers by stating that a civilian recording while an officer is in a public place or the person recording is in a place he or she has the right to be and is not violating the law.
Mm-hmm.
According to a statement from Mara's office, additionally, it makes it clear that recording does not constitute reasonable suspicion to detain a person or probable cause to arrest. Not surprisingly, it garnered the backing of all the civil liberties and journalist organizations. It's great news. The General Counsel for the California Newspaper Publishers Association. Not sure if agencies will act any differently, though. Not one law enforcement agency opposed the bill. There's nothing worse than bracing for a fight and no one shows up.
Understand.
The word touches on a big question. Will it fundamentally change police behavior? I don't know if you remember this guy, Bill, that San Diego freelance journalist. Ed
Bauer.
Well,
that did get arrested about 3 or 4 times.
Ed Bauer, the guy that was over
here. Yeah, he was like the Lone Ranger at one
time.
Yeah.
He was over here by the front Oceanside police.
Yeah.
Had 40 cops chasing down the alley.
Right, yeah.
He's been arrested
three times.
Yeah, current statute says existing law has been vague and open to interpretation. Gives the officer a lot of leeway to arrest or cite someone. Police will now have less incentive to even approach journalists who are recording an incident unless they are directly in the way, he urged. To me, it's kind of a repeat of the obvious, said Mickey H. Orster, General Counsel of the National Press Photographers Association, noting that it tells that they need to uphold the Constitution they took an oath to uphold. Will it work as intended? Like chicken soup, it might not help, but it doesn't hurt. A former deputy sheriff who trains the police agency on media-related matters repeated a common police expression, "We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way."
I've heard that before. I distinctly remember being said that, yeah.
Numerous times for me.
Yes, I can recall that, yeah.
Police, in other words, can respect people's rights or get sued.
Mm-hmm. That's what the big change is.
That's it. Given the latter possibility, I expect most agencies to choose the former, and that's where the new law seems useful. It eliminates any vagueness. The beauty of SB 411 is that it applies not only to credentialed journalists working for mainstream media outlets, but even a freelance writer and photographers. It's designed to protect everyone. Have I been
That's
saying that for years?
That is us.
Designed to
protect
everyone.
We have a right to for protection.
Okay. But after all, the First Amendment protects all Americans,
mm-hmm.
not just special credentialed groups mm-hmm. of them, which I have credentials coming from a legitimate news organization. I'll show you when I get them. That's going to really fuck with some people over here by us. The timing is good, given modern cell phones have turned almost everyone into a photographer and given recent nationwide news events. In a statement, Lara said the law is important at a time when all cell phone and video footage is helping steer important national civil rights conversations. It's hard to have these conversations if people fear getting arrested or having their equipment confiscated. Thanks to the new law, police agencies are going to have to cast such a narrow net. But the only thing I wanted to touch on with that bill is, okay, so you and I are downtown.
Right.
We're there by the Mexican restaurant.
Yep.
We're watching do something down on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing up there filming down at him. Am I impeding their investigation?
No, you cannot be impeding it, man.
Okay. But the thing I see is, well, we got a call. There was somebody up here. Free conduct.
That's possible, dude.
We're going to play that game.
But it's always been a game.
It's like when they walk in and grab it with flashlights and grab the bottles off the bar and start looking for fruit flies. Because their boss told them to go look for fruit flies.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something else that's going to happen. It's already happened. It happens tomorrow. For the first time now, Philip, you cannot go into Mexico. You're starting at the San Ysidro. Must have a passport to go into Mexico.
Yes.
Now, if you're walking across, you must have a passport. If you're going to fly into Mexico, you must have a passport now. People always has a strange loophole. For those of us, you and I, riding our motorcycles across in the cars, you don't have to show a passport.
Hey, I'm Greg with Magpul.
That's going to be a little strange. And for you people that want to go down to Mexico, days in Mexico, you must now spend $21. I don't know if you heard that one. What do you got there, Goose? What am I looking at? That's a hell of a big flashlight. Holy shiza, yowza, yowza.
Hold on. Let me fix this for you.
All right.
We'll let everybody listen to this one.
M.M., I'm glad you tuned in tonight. Did you hear me at all? M.M.?
Hold on.
Hey, I'm Drake with Magpul, and I'm going to show you guys the FMG 9 today. This is a prototype that we're working on right now. It's just a concept idea. This isn't something that we're going to produce. Have any plans to, but just wanted to bring it out and show some guys what we're capable of doing. Piers and all of it's been in profile. Looks like a flashlight. Walk your dog, take the garbage out, get the mail. See any problems occur, anything you need immediate action with, can get on target and go with it. It's a folding machine gun. It's very transformer-esque. Folds back up. Back into place, ready to go again. Pretty slick little setup.
This
is a standard Glock receiver upper. We just manufactured this just ourselves in the rapid prototype form, where it's got an upper receiver for the Glock. Also takes Glock magazines. And you fold this up and collapse it all the way down. You can open this back end up. You can see your loaded magazine in here. Also allows for an area in here to have an auto sear. So you can remove all this off of the rail. Handguards, flashlight comes off, folds up into a little tight, compact package. Big enough to put in your back pocket. Fits right in there, you go for your walk.
Wow.
Gets nasty, get down to business. FMG 9.
That would probably be the last thing a thief would ever expect.
Absolutely.
Hey, what is this down here? Is there something below us here? What is this sentence here? Can you raise it up?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Got a comment here for somebody that didn't get the whole message in there. Good. So we're talking again about the necessity of joining the American Legion and the VFW across America. As we older veterans continue to get older, we're not quite so active in the VFW and in the American Legion halls. We need the younger people today who are military to join the American Legion, to join the VFW and become active. Now, one of the things that Philip and I like about the American Legion, the VFW, is it's a private club. So once you get on board, it takes a the police just can't come in and visit us. Well, they're going to have some type of a complaint department to come in and visit with that. When we do an event in the park, the police are always over us. We go to the American Legion and the VFW. We have private parties in there. The purpose being to give ourselves a little bit of privacy. Not that anything's going on wrong, hardly wrong, but we need, and I implore all the veterans listening to me, men and women, go down to your American Legion Hall, go down to your VFW, and by the way, I just realized that the head of the American Legion, he's supposed to call in tonight. I'm batting zero for zero for zero, unless they all thought I meant next Thursday, but I don't know. So, if anybody has an American Legion or VFW in their hall neighborhood, I really think you should think about joining us, because wherever you transfer, whatever state, you're right there. You're a member. What you got up there, buddy? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see that.
Yeah. This is a story, though. I'm gonna repeat this because I think it should go viral.
All right.
So I'm at Home Depot today, and the older gentleman in front of me shows his ID for his veterans discount. The clerk tells him he does not qualify for a discount, so the gentleman asks to see a manager. They ask me to go to another line because this may take a few minutes. I tell them, no thanks, I want to hear this. So the young cocky, full of himself moron, comes to talk to the gentleman and says, no, you do not qualify. The gentleman tells him he has always gotten a discount there. So the moron says, well, we have told our people to tighten up the rules and we only give what corporate requires we give, and you do not qualify. The gentleman says he will then take his business elsewhere. The young moron replies, that's your choice. The gentleman starts to leave and I step in. I tell the moron, if one of your idiot friends walked through the door right now, you would have the option of giving him a discount, and with your attitude, you would do it. So step over to the register and give this guy his discount. He says he does not qualify for it. So I tell him, look here, this is how this is going to work. Either you give this guy his discount, and I call Home Depot Corporation and tell them how good of a manager you are, in spite of the stupid policy. Or I go home and call Home Depot Corp and tell them the stupid policy is and their manager's a moron. Then I blast Facebook and it goes viral and you get to be the moron you are. I think you know which one you chose. So people, please blast Facebook with this story. It was store E, Spokane, Washington, number 4714, 5617 East Sprague Avenue, Spokane Valley, Washington, 99212. What a schmuck. He also told the gentleman that he would have to talk to the CEO of Home Depot to change his mind. I hate people who do not respect our military.
You know, comment I want to make on that is the fact that you and I both are hardworking guys. I've never heard you ask for a discount in your life. You've never heard me ask for a discount. Phil and I got some money in our pockets. However, active military should automatically get a discount. If you're a veteran and you get paperwork and you request a discount, that probably means you need a little help. So what the hell is it? Who are we hurting by giving an active veteran, a retired veteran, a discount? There are many of us out there, the veterans, that never, ever, ever ask for a discount because we're lucky enough to make money. So I think that personally, again, because Philip and I are so anal about working, I don't want nothing for nothing. But anybody out there that needs a discount or deserves it, veteran. So,
you know, Bill,
what?
I was just thinking about this guy. You know, he points his fingers at China.
Hello?
Jobs.
Hello?
Hello? We're taking jobs. They aren't taking anything. People like him are giving them jobs.
That's right.
This is the Donald Trump clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
Signature clothing. Or signature collection. What does that tag say, Bill?
Made in Mexico. But they're made in Mexico. You know, it's quick and easy to pick on somebody, but when you're making money from these foreign countries, people are willing to put up with that. At my shop, my brother Michael owns a shop, Kennedy's Custom Cycles. I export motorcycles around the world. I only export Harley-Davidsons. I've said this in the past, and I want to repeat this. Not that I want an attaboy, but I want you people to understand. My brother, Mike Kennedy, and I do not ship. Seems like every American company out there doing business with China. And I will not do business with a communist country. We will not do business with North Korea. We will not do business with Vietnam. We will not do business with Cuba, although I'm looking forward to doing business quickly. I think they're pretty much on their way. I'm kind of thinking China's already half the democratic. They may be pretty good in the future. We refuse, my brother and I, to do any business with a communist country. It's not going to affect Philip and I or my brother Michael, but those people out there who have children and grandchildren, the type of people be to grow up in a world where communism rules us. One of the basic tenets of communism is, and I repeat this, it's rule or abolish of all religions. Now, Philip and I have stated that we are more spiritual than religious, although we were both raised in the Catholic Church. We have no problem with God. We just choose to be a bit more spiritual. But anybody telling me who I can pray to, who I can pray for, that's not going to happen in my lifetime. I'm a veteran. I'm a family member. I'm a businessman. I'm an American. We only do business with democratic countries. And I implore and I ask all big companies right now that do business in people like China, stop thinking about the benefits, the profits. Take a look at what you're doing in that country. You're making it worse. Take a look at what you're doing in this country. You're making it worse because we don't have jobs. Why? Because the work's being done by foreigners. Democratic foreign people, I'm all right with. And Phil's heard people say, oh, Bill's racist. He don't like Orientals. No. Japan is a democratic country. I sell Harley-Davidsons to Japan. I got no problem with that at all. I just don't sell to communist countries. And I'm asking people that do business in communist countries, wake the blankety blank up and look at what damage you're doing. Stop making that quick profit and try to invest back in America again. It doesn't sound like I'm saying anything difficult. Why is it that when I'm talking, I'm on like dead ears? You know, people that are making the money don't want to listen to me.
Yeah.
My brother Mike Kennedy and myself, we're comfortable. We could do a lot better off if I would send my masses of Harley-Davidson to China, but I'm not going to. Yeah. I was just pointing out that so many big American corporations are in bed with China. I personally don't even like the Walmarts, the Kmarts of the world, because I think they move into a neighborhood and they have a tendency to shut down the small mom-and-pop stores.
Yep.
I think America was built on the concept of mom-and-pop stores. Big business, that's...
Bill, when people come in and ask you, you tell them you can go to the dealer, or you go see the guy around the corner.
That's right. What is wrong with America that we have to take this foreign bullshit? At what point in time do we, as the average American, saying, you know... I'm tired of it. I ain't putting up with no more. Remember that movie the guy was yelling out the window? I can't think of the name of it. I'm tired of it. I can't put no more. When do we as Americans say, we have to get back to the roots? We have to make this country great. We have to help people that need money for food, shelter. We need to help these people. If I lived in a city and there was large buildings empty, let's pick Chicago, because we know it's cold weather over there. Why can't we open up these buildings to homeless people during the wintertime? Why can't we get Americans off the street? Why can't we get women with children? Why can't we get them off the street into a safe place? Why is the government fights all these home shelters all the time? I don't understand that.
because they'd rather put the money elsewhere instead of instead of helping people.
Yeah.
You know, I apologize because my little guy, he thinks that his cup is
hey.
The phone. When I get on
future,
the phone,
he is the future.
Here's your buddy right
yeah.
here, Bill.
Oh, there we go. Thank you for finding this. Thank you.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
What does it mean to believe? It is forgiven. We're almost there. Hang on, folks. Phil's going to... I made a comment about a statement. I took it out of context. I couldn't remember
things
what
things are bad?
From.
Everybody
okay.
knows things.
There
we
Here
go.
We go. Here we go, everybody.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do in this. The air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I remember that so long ago.
There's another one, Bill.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Man. You know?
Well, you know, I haven't heard that for a while, but, you know, we are going about our little world. You and I are busting our butt trying to make something happen. We realize we really are so insignificant. We could go down, we could talk to senators, congressmen, ain't nothing we say, not going to matter.
So, how would
ain't
you like,
nothing going to happen.
How would you like to have a job? And,
oh, no, I have a motorcycle shop.
No,
job,
no,
job's
listen,
not good for
listen,
me.
Listen. I'd like to have a job. Eat cancer. They operated on you. They think they got it all. A year and a half goes by. Guess what? Turned up again.
Yeah.
So you're off for 13 and a half months.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of the second week of the 13 and a half months, or third week,
mm-hmm.
you get a call from your job. You've been out too long. We're terminating your services. You go into shock, have a fucking heart attack, and die. Cancer didn't kill you. The fucking news telling you you got terminated, dude.
My wife
true story.
Is, my
true
wife,
story.
As you many of you know, that she died of cancer a year ago. We were together for 44 years. She had cancer. We fought cancer. It came back like a freaking freight train. Took her out 6 months after all the cancer stuff and all that. When we, after the fact, and you know this, some of my friends know this one, I had so many bills from specialists, and when I read the bills, it said, your insurance may or may not cover the specialist, and in most cases, they did not. I had bills of $200,000. Now, I wasn't even sure how I was going to raise money to take care of my wife's funeral services. $200,000. What the hell? Who in America can kick this up? So last month, after lawyers and arguments and blah, 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 I finally paid off the last hospital, the last bill I had. Now, did I pay $200K? Of course, I did pay $200K. I had lawyers, and we negotiated, da, 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 da. So if my wife's death wasn't enough, now I have a $200,000 bill, which I had to fight. When she went to the cancer and she beat it and she walked away, when it came back, I had no chance to prepare for anything with that. How does the average American citizen, never mind $200K, that's crazy. How about a bill for $600,000? Never mind, $60,000. Make it simple. The average guy couldn't handle $60,000. It's just not possible. And yet they tell me I had a $200,000 bill. Not because of my insurance, but because of all the specialists my wife needed. What is wrong with this country that they say to an honest schmuck, hey, man, we know you're working, we got your taxes, we got all the stuff there. This is what you owe, $200,000. Well, took me a year to get over it and to deal with it, but what a crock, my friends. What a crock. Anybody that has large hospital bills, all I want to say to you is don't ignore them. They'll come after you. Find, maybe you're good yourself. I couldn't deal with the stress anymore. I was getting crazy. I had to get bigger lawyers. And of course, I had to pay the big lawyers. But when you weigh all the factors out and all that, see, I'm so stupid. I think I should pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I fought that and fought that. And I was able to pay everything I could off. I don't know how anybody in America that's working can possibly end up paying the bills. I don't know. What is this code stuff down here? I don't read this here.
Oh, it's just, that's this here?
Yeah.
That's the video I just played.
Oh, okay, down there. Okay, then. Yeah, okay.
We just got a email from, actually, got a message. This is, I don't know who that is.
No, I don't know.
But cruising down Highway 90, had to stop and snap this. Harley Davidson flying their flag at half-mast out of respect for the three firefighters who lost their lives yesterday fighting one of the many fires going on over there in Washington, Spokane Valley. That was from our friend Emilio.
Emilio, thank you very much for
26
that.
26 minutes ago he did that.
Emilio who, sir?
Emilio Rivera.
Well, how would the people know that?
Oh, it's true.
Well, you and I don't know too many Emilios, but that's correct, sir, with that. And I see you got a little thing up there with our friend Annie.
Annie Nelson. Freedom Fest is going to be in Castle Rock.
Where's Castle Rock?
Colorado.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
Okay. These are all the tags that you can get to see that. I'll put that right here.
Yeah.
But let's see who this is right here.
It's up there, 978-772. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
It's Pete.
Well, hello, Pete.
Pete from
Boston.
Pete,
where are you calling from?
Boston.
We know that, brother. We want everybody to know where you're calling from, that's all.
You know me, Bill.
I know you well, my friend, but I want everybody to listen to your voice and the other one know where you're calling from. We know you're Boston.
My name is Pete. I don't live in Boston. I live on the outskirts. I live in Massachusetts. Boston's about a half an hour from my house. Boston is a crazy city. Hey, I wanted to tell you guys something. I'm going to send it to you, Phil. I was on YouTube earlier today. I don't know how it came up, and it was a video of a state trooper pulling two bikers went off the off ramp. They took the off ramp from the highway. Okay, the guy in front put his directional on. The guy in back did not. They were going very slow. They came to a complete stop. The trooper went in back of them. And he followed them for about 5 seconds. And he pulled them over. And one of the bikers took the helmet. He took his helmet off. The other biker kept his helmet on, and the trooper, talk about unprofessional, said, take that helmet off, you know, right now. And he didn't even give the guy a chance to take the helmet off. He says, if you don't take it off, I'll write you up for something. This is all on video, you know, the dash cam that they have. I'll write you up for something. For not taking your helmet off. So it goes on. And, you know, the guy that he harassed the most, another trooper showed up, but the first trooper left the first guy alone. He didn't have any colors on. The second guy had a military bottom. He was a prospect for a military club. And he had the bottom rocker in the MC. Totally legit. And he's in the guy's face and he says, are you military? He said, I was a ranger. Oh, you were a ranger, huh? What would the military think about you being in a motorcycle club? And he says, it's a military club. You know, we're all military. And so he continued to harass the guy. And he had a flashlight in his hand, like a mag light, one of those mag lights, like he was going to whack the guy, the biker, I mean. The troop was going to whack the biker. He didn't, but, I mean, this trooper must have probably weighed 140 pounds. I mean, he was a stick, you know, and he was a prick, too. It was in Washington. That's where it happened. And he, I don't know what he wrote him up for. But he wrote both of them up for something. They didn't show that part. But the guy that got the most, that got harassed the most, the military guy that was prospecting for a military club, was a legitimate club, sued the state police, and he was awarded $90,000. And it's just a great video. I mean, it's bullshit, okay, because they didn't do anything wrong, nothing. They came to a complete stop, and they would just, and the trooper was just throwing out names of clubs left and right. Oh, you're affiliated with this one and that one. And I says, he says, no, I'm a prospect for a military club. We, you know, we ride, we get together, we have cookouts and stuff like that, pig roasts, poker runs. And as I said, he said, oh, I'm sure the military would be real proud of you being in a motorcycle club. So I have that video, Phil, and I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
A little while, and you're not going to believe it. You're going to be like, holy shit. I mean, talk about harassment, man. But he got $90,000 out of the deal. I mean, he was gonna. He told the guy, he said, if you don't take your helmet off, I'm gonna arrest you. And the guy politely said, for what? He said, for, like I mentioned earlier, it's coming back to me now. Don't mind me, I'm tired. He said, if you don't take your helmet off, I'm gonna arrest you. And the guy said, the military biker said, for what? What did I do? He says, I'm going to arrest you for something. Just take your helmet off, you know? I mean, it was uncalled for. It was total BS. It was total discrimination. Right before that, because in Massachusetts, we don't have, the police don't have dash cams anymore because the state police and the local police took their years, probably 20 years ago, they took them out because they were harassing people and just doing, you know, they're just harassing people, beating people up, you know, shooting people, whatever. So if you come to Massachusetts and there's a state trooper behind you, you're not going to see a camera on his dash. But in Washington, they have these cameras and they film everything. And the trooper was riding along, and there was a Mercedes in front of him. Now, the same trooper I'm talking about, there was a Mercedes, an older Mercedes in front of him. And the trooper was on his ass. I think it was a woman, actually, on her ass. And she got nervous. She kept hitting her brakes, and he hit the siren and the air horn. And right on camera, he said, "What the hell is your problem? Move over." You know, I couldn't. And then he went a little further down, and he saw two bikers going off the off ramp there. And he says, "Oh, you know, I'm gonna pull these guys over." But he really, 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 you know, you think being a state trooper, and most state troopers that I know, not that I'm friends with them really, but most state troopers are ex-military, you know. And he asked the guy, he said, you know, are you military? He says, I was an Army Ranger. And that's when the insult started from the guy. But it's an upsetting video, but it's really, really, it's something that everybody should see, because it's pure discrimination against these two guys that were on bikes, you know. And the helmet thing was just outrageous. It was funny. You know, I'll arrest you for something. It's like, you know, pull your handbook out, buddy, and look up a helmet law. You know, if you don't take, there's no law that I know. Common sense, Phil, Bill, common sense. You can't, what is a crime in not removing your helmet? He had a half helmet, so you can see his face. And he didn't give him a chance to take it off.
No,
so I
they never.
I just got to share that with you, and I'm going to send you that video.
Okay, they
Facebook.
Never do. They never do, and then if you don't, we had a couple of guys up here from Northern California get arrested for obstructing an officer in his line of duty. Which,
well,
by the way, Those.
That's what they use a lot of times, Phil. They use that obstruction.
If you got an air freshener hanging off the mirror in your car,
that's
or your truck, that's probably cause to pull you over now.
Probably.
Oh, check this out, okay? In Massachusetts, okay, we used to have green license. Okay, just picture a license plate, and the numbers on, you know, it's white, and the letters are green, and you only. This was years ago. It was probably 25 years ago, 30 years ago. at least 25 years ago, you only got one. You go to the register you got. You only got one plate, and it was a white plate with green letters. And I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, they passed a law, and they said if you don't turn in, you know, we will give you a new plate. It's white with red letters, red and white. And if you know, if you do that, you're fine, you know, free of charge, because they want you to have a front license plate in case you get involved in some type of, you know, situation, and a back license plate, obviously. So I see these troopers pulling over these old ladies that are like 90 years old that still have the white plate with the green letters that they didn't turn in because they don't know any better. You know what the fine is for that, Phil? $300.
Sure.
If you have that
warning
plate on your car. $300.
Wow.
$300.
Bruce, we don't want to lose you, but hang in there. We got somebody who's trying to come in here. 513-965.
I'm sorry, Bill, I'm sorry to cut you guys. I got to call my mom. What time
okay.
is it? You on? What time you on till Phil? 11.
45 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go because I have to call my mother to say goodnight to her. But I'm gonna catch you guys on Tuesday.
Okay.
All right, Michael.
All
right.
Nice talking to you.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, now 513-965. You want to tell us hello? Where you're from? Tell us.
Hello, doll.
Hello, doll.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
Bill and Phil. Was that for both of us or just one of us?
That's for both of you. Hello, darling. How's that? It's Casey calling in.
Casey, how are you doing? It's good hearing you. And where are you calling from tonight?
Actually, I'm in L.A.
Oh, L.A.
Okay.
Yeah,
Louisiana?
L.A.
Oh,
no, L.A., California,
Los Angeles.
L.A.,
E-L-L-A.
I get it. What do you want to talk about tonight?
Oh, well, I just actually called to say hey and see how you guys were doing, and I'm going to go ahead and post up everything so that people can know that you're on. I thought I had you all posted, but I guess not. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, because I had talked to you before about this, but wanted to get kind of a thing going with for homeless vets. And
actually,
I am
involved in a big charity benefit for the veterans homeless. It's in Huntsville, Alabama, and it's December 11th and 12th. It's pretty large. There's going to be a lot of us there. Kiana Bradley, Kiki Dare, myself, Evan Stone, Ryan.
A lot
Perry,
of our listeners might not know who knows.
A lot of us.
Can you tell them? I said a lot of people who listen to this.
A lot of people from the adult industry. They're going to be there, and they're taking care of the benefit, and we're putting it on, and it's just gonna, it's a really big deal down in Huntsville. They've been doing it for a few years now, so.
Maybe we want to invite them down to the thing in your shop on the 30th, Bill.
I don't think they're going to leave Huntsville, come down to our shop.
No, they're not in Huntsville.
You know what I was thinking about
first? She's in L.A., Bill.
I was going to take Casey down to Tijuana next 2 weeks. I think she'd love Tijuana. Have a major event. So, actually, I want you to understand that, get aside, Philip and I do 4 major runs into Mexico. They are extraordinary runs. I'm going to challenge you, when you get off the air, whatever, pull your cell phone out and punch up Rocky Point Rally. And then when that comes up, I want you to punch up images. And I want you to see with 10,000 people from Europe, America, Mexico, we all get together 650 miles into mainland Mexico. There's nobody there but us.
Take over a town for 5 days.
We have got horseback riding on the beach. The water is bathtub warm water. So Rocky Point Rally, you take a look at that and then punch images and you go, I can't believe that's going on. Now, because it's so far deep into Mexico, if we are not there, there is simply no money being made. Hotels, restaurants, gas stations, everybody makes money off of us in there. It's a well-kept secret, but you get a chance to punch that up. Rocky Point Rally, you go, damn, I didn't know that was going on. And then, of course, Philip and I are in Ensenada in February for Mardi Gras. It's not Nolan's, a little girl, but we certainly do have a good time down there. Parades, floats, carnival, dancing in the street. And then in the end of Christmas, Philip and I cross into Tijuana again. This is a program we put on for the Tijuana Toy Run. 5,000 of us stage at the American side. The cops take us to the border, Americans. Mexican cops pick us up. We do a quick tour of Tijuana. All the sidewalks are full of Mexican people cheering, yelling, screaming, applauding. Because as we end up our tour, it's a short tour, we end up on Revolution Street. We bring every orphan from every orphanage in the Baja area. We give them toys and everything. And these children, they don't know what side of the border they grew up on. Well, they're kids.
Right.
We invite
right.
all
as well
the
as
Americans.
We do the same thing over here.
Yeah, you know, we do a lot of the Americans over here, too. But I invite a lot of Americans that got teenage kids and all that are slightly spoiled. Come down to Tijuana with me. Come down and see what little babies, see how happy they are. And if you ever get some time on your hand, I'd love to take you down to a Tijuana orphanage, just a one-day ride to an orphanage. They have like one adult for 20 children. These children, of course, they want toys, but you know what they really want? Somebody just to hold them and pay a little attention. One supervisor,
right.
20 kids, they can't possibly get the attention they need. So while Philip and I work on so many American programs, we work on so many veterans here, we work on so many programs in America, I'd love sometime maybe to slide across the border and see how lucky we are to be on this side of the border. Okay, little girl?
That sounds like fun. Now, are the links for everything up, or?
I'll send them to you.
Okay. Because if you can send them to me, I'll get them out on both my Facebook and the fan page and also on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Because, like, I don't know if you know, but at the last count, there's 12,334 American veterans living on the streets in L.A. that nobody gives a shit about.
We did a show 2 weeks ago about all the veterans coming back, the veteran suicides. We're going to give the program a half an hour. We had 2 hours. People kept calling in, calling in. All of the veteran suicides, they can't adapt to coming back to being in the public again, trying to get jobs and raise families. We're losing too many of our sons and daughters.
In the last 11 years, Bill, we've lost 813,692 people as of today.
That's kind of what, you know, those statistics and everything that's gone on is it's what's been the driving force behind this event that they're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a shame and it's sad that, you know, we don't take care of them, you know, collectively. When I say we, I mean collectively, you know, as a whole, like we should. And so, you know, it's just everybody's got to do what they can do and it's not happening. So I understand exactly what you guys are saying and what you're doing, and I have a great deal of respect for it. So, yeah, absolutely. Anything I can do, feel free to ask.
I need to point out something very clearly. We keep talking about veterans, and when I keep saying veterans, most people keep thinking of men. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that we are losing women veterans through suicide.
Oh, yes.
Veterans
yes.
coming back missing an arm or a leg. Women veterans having no shrapnel on their faces. Now, because of the way
right.
Philip and I were raised as veterans, as older people, I see a man walking down the street in uniform, missing an arm or a leg, a shrapnel. I said, God bless you for what you did for your country, son. Now, flip the script. When I see a woman in uniform walking down the street, missing an arm or a leg, a shrapnel, I get mad. I still think
right.
somehow we should have defended our women better. We should not have put... Now, there are certainly women veterans who are strong enough to fight in any battle. I'm not against women fighting if that's what they want to do. But I believe still that I should open the door. I believe I should open the car door. I should hold your seat. I believe we need to defend our women. And I'm telling you, when I keep talking about veterans, please understand, folks, I'm always including our women. So for all
right.
the veterans listening out there again, if I haven't mentioned the women veterans enough, again, I apologize. It slips my mind because I say veterans and I'm thinking men, but we have so many wonderful women that have come across with so, they've come back with
well,
so many problems.
How many of you talked to where they've come up to and said, Bill, who wants to dance with me? I only have one leg.
Yeah.
Who wants to take me out?
Look at my face.
Look at my face. Sir. I'm missing my arm, Bill. Or I'm missing an arm or leg, Bill. Who wants to take me out?
And we men are so petty that when I talk to the disabled vets and I'm saying, hey, man, I got some fine looking women here. Hey, Bill, I want Barbie doll. I don't want someone missing a leg or an arm. I go, well, you hypocrite. You're missing an arm or a leg. Bill, I want Barbie doll. We're not looking at the quality and the character of the women vets coming back and what they have to offer. I'm asking everybody,
right,
if you see a woman vet, and especially you as a woman,
oh,
every chance you can close the women vets, if you would. I appreciate that.
Just like going to the VA.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you walk up to the VA and you got four or five guys sitting out in front of a wheelchair. Don't put your head down. Look them in the eye. Tell them thank you. Stop
right
and take a chat.
Yeah. And if I can, I might as well get this out real quick. Every now and then, I might have a friend of mine working in a club, and I might bring her down to the VA hospital just to walk up along and talk to somebody. It is amazing how these vets that are confined to the VA hospital for the rest of their life, the appearance of a beautiful woman, it makes their eyes light up. Now, I walk in the VA hospital, hey, Bill's here, so what? So I invite every woman.
We ought to invite Casey to go with us the next time we go, bring a couple of her friends.
Or if Casey, if you're in the Area LA area and you're close to a VA hospital, and you and a girlfriend or a couple of girlfriends might just stop in, just walk in the main door, walk up to information. I'm not talking about spend 8-10 hours, half hour of your time. You have no idea about what you're doing for these guys' spirits.
I'll get with the girls that are those of us that are going to be doing the homeless veterans benefit down in Huntsville, and most of us are out here in LA. We're going to be flying down there for a few days with them, and I'll see what we can do about going in and, you know, meeting with them and talking to them and spending a little time with them and letting them know, you know, that people care. And, you know, that there are people out there that are trying to do something to make a difference. And hopefully it'll brighten their day a bit, or, you know, to some degree.
If I can interrupt you, and I apologize. The event you're doing in down south down there and hooking up to a local VA hospital, I think it's wonderful what you're doing. You want to bring a couple of girlfriends in then? As soon as you get there, go to one of the wards if you can. And break up. Don't four or five you walk down. You're overpowering to the average guy. Stop five or and just talk to one person. While your girlfriend's talking to one person. And again, I'm not asking you to spend the whole day down at the down south VA hospital. But and when you're down there, because there are a lot of men. Ask if there's any women vets. So you spend just
definitely
a few minutes. Okay, thank you. If you do that for me, I'd appreciate that.
Absolutely. Okay, sweetie. Well, I'm going to have to jump off of here, but I wanted to say hello, and I wanted to let you know that I have a great deal of respect for what you're doing. And like I said, anything I can do, please feel free to hit me up and let me know what's going on. And I'll keep
you in
the loop as well.
I send you Bill and I's phone number in a message.
Okay. Definitely do that. And the links as well, if you could send those to me so I can get them posted up, that'd be great.
If you can do a follow-up when you do get down south for that event you're doing, if you can give me the follow-up, say, hey, Bill, we had enough time. We did stop by VA hospital. We spoke to a few people. It'd make me feel good knowing that you took the extra time to do that. Okay?
Okay. I love that idea. Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely love it. Perfect.
Well, thank you, Casey.
All right,
for taking
sweetheart.
Casey, we'll see you.
Well,
right,
you're
girl?
Welcome. Thanks, sweetheart. Thanks for letting me know that you guys were on tonight.
Okay.
All right,
talk
honey
to you soon.
Have a good night. All right.
You
bye-bye
too. Bye-bye. What was our friend Casey? She's the other half of Tommy Gunn, one of the guys from Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm. And she's in the adult entertainment world, which I like the
I'm
fact that
what,
she's
Bill
taking the time.
I'm telling
to
you what, Bill.
What do you want to tell me?
Just with this picture right here.
Wait a minute. Let me get my glasses.
There you go. Just with this picture right here, these girls that walk in there, I guarantee you. Be like when we took Rusty and Danny and them guys down to Balboa Hospital. Within 10 minutes, we were mobbed.
Yeah.
Guys that couldn't walk found some way to get out of bed to come see what was
there
going on.
There we go. She said this was in, what city again?
Huntsville, Alabama.
Huntsville, Alabama. I'm sorry, yeah. There is a VA hospital there.
It's already posted.
Good. I don't know what day they're going to do it. Maybe they shouldn't just fact. I hope they don't let the VA know they're coming. I hope they just come in and just speak to everybody there. I don't want a bunch of crowd of vets going in, but just talk to those guys that are in the wheelchairs and the guys that are in the beds for the rest of their life. and the women too. Let's spend a few time talking to these people. Philip and I try to, when we're at the hospital, just spend a few minutes. Anybody within the sound of my voice that has some extra time or drives by the VA hospital, you know, we're not asking for you to spend a day there, a week there. Come in, walk around for an hour, talk to some guy in a wheelchair. Hey, how you doing? You know, talk to some girl in a wheelchair. If you feel strong enough in that, you want to speak to somebody and you want to go to the wards, there are some young men and women who are in the beds, and they're going to be in that bed for the rest of their life. These are extremely healthy young men and women who went to war to defend America. I don't want to get into politics, so don't call in and say, what did they fight for? I don't give a shit what they fought for. They fought because their country sent them. That's all I want to talk about tonight. These men and women were injured, and I'm asking, beside our adult entertainment celebrity people, anybody that could walk in and just spend 5 or 10 minutes. Maybe find somebody from, hey, you're from, where are you from? Hey, I'm from Texas. Hey, my family's from Texas. Hey, I'm from Georgia. Hey, I'm from South Carolina. Who the hell knows? Find 5 minutes of conversation. Shake a hand. Make a friend. I don't think I'm asking too much here tonight, guys. And I also want to include this to, of course, all the states. And we have got many allies that fought for the same program. So no matter what country you're in, if you take time, Germany, France, I don't think our Chinese people let us do this, but the countries that listen to us, go down to your local hospital, find these veterans, and let's include all the police officers that were injured in line of duty, too. If you can visit them, too, visit them, too. You are so lucky. And if you are in a wheelchair and you have transportation and you can go in that hospital, you can motivate them, I mean, why aren't you doing that? Now, the fact that these adult entertainment friends of ours are willing to take their time, and they're not going to get any publicity out of this here. Well, maybe they will, but that's not why they're going. These girls, these friends of ours, are generally going because Philip and I pointed out something that should have been done a long time ago. And I think that our friend and a lot of her girlfriends will try to do this on a regular basis. And I know she's going to contact us when they get back for this program. That makes me feel good, you know. Lately, I get so much negativity from all this bad stuff in the world today that I'm just concerned that, or I'm just happy, I guess, when somebody says, hey, I'm going to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. And everybody listening to me, no matter what country they're in, they can take a few minutes to go in and say hello to somebody. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Philip and I go in, but I don't know, those guys don't really seem to get that excited, but when you and I bring a guest in,
yeah,
especially a short dress, that seems to, well, you guys can use your imagination on that. Well. M.M., you still in there tonight, or did you drop out?
No, gone.
She gone?
No, she's still there.
Oh, M.M., okay. All right.
Sorry, yeah, I'm still here. I just had it muted on my end, so that way the baby didn't get too, you know, too much on the background.
Well, you're just talking about some of our adult entertainment friends that are going to be going down south. They put a big concert on, and they've been nice enough to stop by the local VA hospital and visit some of our men and women in the hospitals. And I know they're just walking into a room will stop traffic. It'll cheer these people up, but I've invited everybody to go to your local VA hospital and spend a few minutes. Now, I know you have a giant heart. I know you help so many people. We need more people like our friend here, you know? Were you lost already?
No.
Looking Mexico party?
No, I'm not.
We haven't got there yet, you know? Where's the nearest hospital, VA hospital, from where you are, dear?
Me?
Yeah.
Nat Hines, and that's in Maywood, Illinois.
Oh. Distance about how far?
About 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one south of me that's about an hour and a half.
Well, you get two options. If you're traveling through and it doesn't take much out of your way if you can stop in. These people just need to know there's people on the outside. For some of these young men and women, their parents, they haven't married. Their parents were passed away. So we have these young men and women who, they got nobody. They got other vets. I have meetings at the VA hospital, and I have meetings at nighttime with some of the organizations. If you go to VA hospital during the daytime, there's visitors, there's doctors, there's nurses, there's blah, blah, blah. Things are happening everywhere. Now, sometimes my meetings go on to 9 o'clock at night. The hospital is shut down. The lights are shut down. Most of the doctors are gone. All the therapists are gone. The hospital, it's eerie. And when I go by some of these people who are going to be in that room the rest of their life, be it a single room or a double-person room, they're just staring. Now, some of them are lucky enough to get, and computers do hook them up to parts of the world, but not the same as somebody walking in saying, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Where are you from?
I agree.
Mean a lot, so I know that's a little bit out of your way, but maybe sometime you may be traveling by and say, you know what, I'm going to stop in for 5 minutes. And if you do, please let us know you did that. I've asked more and more people just to spend a few minutes. When you've lost everything, you've lost everyone, and you're going to be in a hospital the rest of your life trying to rehab, it's very easy to get despondent, despaired. So I just want to point that out to everybody. All righty, Nora, why'd you let me get on my little... I told you, keep
that's okay. Track.
Well, no, it's not okay. No. I get off on things that personally aggravate me, and I want to share this with everybody, so thank you on that.
Don't ever apologize. You know, it's what you feel, what you carry in your heart, you know. And if people can't respect that, that's their issue, not yours.
Phil, can Nora tune in and see that the information on the Tijuana tour run on her computer?
Yeah, just type in Tijuana tour run.
Oh, do you hear that, Nora? You just
yes,
type in Tijuana tour run. You did already?
No, but I know
you can
where...
type it in, Phil says, and you'll see a little bit of what we're doing down there.
Okay.
Well, you'll see the daytime shots.
Tijuana?
Hello. Oh, little girl.
I'm teaching my grandson Spanish.
Well, you can type in Ensenada. You can also type in Rocky Point and see what we're doing, the runs we're doing down there.
Okay. I know the last time when you had you both talked about this on the show, I did go and type it in, and I was able to see, like, last year's photos and stuff. Wow. Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's not only crazy, we raise so much revenue, local police pretty much want to stay in the background because the money's
right.
being spent in hotels, restaurants, gas stations. The Mexican Red Cross asks every American coming in, would you make a $10 donation? But it's optional. Sorry. So the run is open,
right.
Everything is, but they're asking if you'd stop and make a $10 donation, every cent goes to the Mexican Red Cross. That's... For a weekend run for $10, geez, guys, what do you want to
right.
do, you know?
Yeah, you can't get that here, you know.
All righty.
Thank you both very much for...
No, thank you for being part of our friends.
That shirt. No, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the show and your friendship.
Oh, no, I haven't yet. I just got a message from somebody over here. It's some instructional information, and the answer is no, I haven't. May need secondary advice or with the instructions. Now, you people listen to me, you know damn good and well I'm talking in code. But I'm talking in code.
Yep.
However, codes for me and different people. Okay. Yeah. Well, what do you say? Are you ready to close up tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, everybody, I know some of you people listen to this in the morning and some of you people listen to different time zones. We appreciate you being here. And anything that you say, anything that we say that you agree with, talk to other people about it. Anything that we say that you disagree with, pick the phone up and tell me why you disagree. Maybe Philip and I did not look at your point of view. So just because I say a certain thing a certain time and all that, I'm subject to change. You don't have to agree with us. We welcome disagreement. But just remember, if you always agree with me, you're always going to be right.
I'm going to bring right there a little. Ask the Rudy ticket card.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Sure hope I can figure out how to get that program settled tonight.